540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Liberty Mutual.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The family of a Memphis driver who died 3 days after a traffic stop is asking for calm as the city gets ready to release police body cam video today of the beating he allegedly received by officers. Tyree Nichols' mother, Rayvon Wells.
I didn't see it, but from what I hear, it's going to be horrific.
All five former officers have been charged with second-degree murder. Shelby County District Attorney Steve Mulroy tells CBS Mornings.
It was important for the charges to be announced prior to the release of the video and for expectations to be set and for people in the community with credibility to call for calm.
Also today, officials in San Francisco will release body cam footage of the hammer attack on former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul.
I don't even know if I will see it. I mean, it would be a very hard thing to see an assault on my husband's life.
Prosecutors say Paul Pelosi was asleep at the couple's home when someone broke in. The suspect, David DePap, has pleaded not guilty. A U.S. raid in Somalia has killed a key ISIS figure. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The U.S. raid killed Bilal al-Sudani. U.S. officials say troops descended on a cave complex in the mountains of northern Somalia to capture him, but there was resistance, and he and 10 others were killed. He was believed responsible for helping to fund ISIS operations around the world, including in Afghanistan. The operation to capture him was months in the planning.
The Global Chemical Weapons Watchdog reporting its investigators have found reasonable grounds to believe Syria's Air Force dropped two cylinders of chlorine gas on the city of Douma in 2018. 43 people died. The organization's director calls it an unacceptable breach of international law. The FDA is easing restrictions on who can donate blood.
The new approach eliminates rules that target gay men and instead focuses on sexual behaviors by people of any gender who may pose a higher risk of transmitting HIV. Under the proposed guidelines, gay and bisexual men in monogamous relationships will now be allowed to donate blood, reversing restrictions that have been in place for decades. Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Last week's rainstorms caused massive devastation in California, but they brought good news for farmers, boosting reservoirs, providing more water to farmers who've been battling drought. Donald Seymour with Sonoma Water.
It really took that type of sequential number of storms to really saturate the watershed and create just a huge amount of runoff into the two reservoirs, which are basically now both fully recovered.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The State Justice Department is suing the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs, alleging the agency offered a woman less pay than men with similar qualifications. In 2016, Military Affairs offered an internal candidate a job as Wisconsin's Director of the Bureau of Response and Recovery. The job listed at $79,000, but they offered her less. It was also 11% less than it was paying a man doing a similar job. The lawsuit says a man was eventually hired for the job and he was paid more than she was offered. President Biden and Donald Trump are popular with their bases, but they don't necessarily want them to run for president again. The latest Marquette University Law School polls has 48% of Wisconsin Republicans don't want Trump to be the nominee next year. 51% of Wisconsin Democrats tell the survey they feel the same way about Biden. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. We can text. You can text us at that same number. What's going on, Connor?
I'm doing all right, Earl. How about you?
Thank God it's Friday. You know, because I'm glad to see my friend Sandy again. What's going on, Sandy?
Thank God it's Friday, yeah. No, Friday, Monday, Saturday.
Well, I know. I used to, before getting back on the radio, it didn't matter to me what the day was, and I remember those times fondly.
I think it's good to be able to distinguish seasons. I think it's good to be able to distinguish night from day.
Days of the week.
And I think it's good to distinguish days of the week, too. I mean, it's like, it's probably
important.
For a important.
Long time, you did.
Yeah, I still do, actually.
Yeah. You know, Sandy, where do I begin, man? You know, I want to talk about a guy we haven't said anything about, George Santos.
Is that his name? You know, there is some controversy even about whether that's his proper name.
So, Sandy, how could people be? How was he able to pull the wool over all those different levels? I thought people are vetted before they get a chance to run for an office of that level.
Well, you know, the fact is, that's why I talk about norms. You know, people live within civil norms, and one of the civil norms is we believe one another. We aren't so skeptical that we assume that everything everyone tells us about themselves or anything else is untrue. We assume it's true. And so we give one another the benefit of the doubt, and some people take advantage of that. And some people are sociopathic and can't tell the difference between truth and fiction. And I think, quite frankly, that's what Santos must be. He's someone who deviates off the line of truth into the line of fiction without even recognizing that he's off the path. And he spent a lifetime doing this. You know, people go back 4, 5, 8 years talking to people who knew him back when, and it's just all BS.
So, but there's, in all of it, you strain to ever find that there was ever truth in it, or truth in him.
Right. That's what I say, sociopathic. I think the guy's, it's a part of him. What surprises me is that all these people who can now come forth and say, yeah, we knew.
Didn't say anything.
Didn't say anything when he was running for Congress. You know, like maybe someone could have just come forward and said, hey, wait a minute.
Well, you know, I'm thinking, Sandy, they probably thought he would never wind up winning. Right? I mean, that had to be the case if I knew a guy that I knew that lied all the time, you know, I would, you know, he's, can we say he's a little Trump or,
you know, yeah.
I mean, Trump made it to the presidency of the United States.
Well, I mean, I think that was in a way sort of a precedent. I think that what's happened now is that if you go out and talk to people about the fact that Trump's a liar, half of his defenders will say, yeah, everyone in politics is a liar. Yeah. It's sort of like, wait, what do you think? There's like this is the new norm.
It just, to me, Sandy, this guy, and now the Republicans are caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Because he's a reflection of them now.
You know, there used to be a guy on Saturday Night Live that was his whole shtick was he would tell lies. He'd say, "Yeah, that's the ticket," and then he'd go on and on telling. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, and I get the feeling that when legislators when they get into the privacy of their own rooms, this is the way they behave because you know almost all the it is true that almost every one of the politicians has been caught. You know, making stuff up.
Embellishing.
You know, Hillary was in a battle, right? She was in a helicopter and got out, and bullets were flying around. Well, that wasn't quite the case. And you can see Biden every once in a while steps into the fiction that he likes talking at cocktail parties about. And unfortunately, some people like Santos live a life. You know, that's their life. They make it up, and in fact, they probably believe their own stories.
But
you know?
I think
he said that he had his knees replaced from his volleyball. He was a volleyball star at Baruch College where he didn't go and where he didn't play volleyball, and he had to have his knees replaced, which might or might not be the truth. You know, wow.
But in his case, then he'll never have peace because they're going to go after him for the money that was donated to, I mean, he's broken some laws along the way. It's safe to say.
Let's be proper about this.
Yeah, he might
have broken the law. He's being investigated now, but it's pretty clear that if the Republican caucus can pin the tail on the donkey, if they can get a broken law, they'd be glad to be rid of him, and they will try. Although he comes from a tight district, and so they must be holding their breath because you know he flipped. He was a Republican who flipped the Democratic district. So,
right.
You know, they might well find that their majority will go down by one when he gets replaced, or by two when you do the math. So, you know, it's a troublesome thing, but I'm confident that this investigation, you know, did he lend money to his own? And, you know, and if he's so,
where did he get the money?
My bet again on this alleged thing is they're going to get him.
So I believe they're going to get him too.
And then he will get. It's much like people talk about someone when they die, they get peace.
Right.
When he gets out of the political racket, he will find some peace because they will stop investigating him at that point. You know, it'll be like he'll just have to go away.
George, just go away. You know, Sandy, I think the guy probably did this on a whim, running, never believing.
Well, he ran twice. This was the second time.
Well,
this whim had some legs.
Yeah, I don't think it was a whim. I think it was very intentional.
I think this was his ambition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So live and learn, I guess, is the old adage, which means the next guy who tries this or a woman who tries this, they're going to be ready for them. They're going to vet everything and everybody from here on in, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, you would have thought that would have been the case already. So, like I said, we live in this world of norms. We tend to believe one another. People have embellishments. You know, they talk about how many soldiers in Vietnam were there.
Right.
And the number that will say they were there is like three times the number that was actually there. And
so,
how many people saw combat there? That's like a factor of 10 in terms of the numbers who talk about being in combat, the numbers who actually were. And so, you know, the world is filled with embellishments. And of course, George Santos wanted to test the edge of the envelope, like, where does embellishment stop and basically exaggerations turn into lies?
So a seat for Congress has to be $5-10 million?
What do you mean? The cost of running?
Yeah. I mean, it has to be. So he had to really receive some really large.
Well, supposedly the amount that he gave himself was in the $500,000 to $700,000 number, I think.
Yeah, ultimately, but that's not enough to win a congressional seat in New York. No, I understand.
So that wasn't everything. That was some of it. So I don't know what it takes.
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah. Well, it's safe to say when Mandela Barnes was running for Senate. Now we're talking about $10 million.
Well, Senate is a lot more expensive than Congress,
right?
Just in terms of the footprint, the numbers of people, the number amount of advertising you can do, et cetera. It's certainly a fraction of the cost of the U.S. Senate, but I don't know what it is. But it's a lot of money,
right?
Yeah,
you know. So
you would think that the people investing, and that's the sorry part. You know, we talk about getting money out of politics because when people contribute to politicians, they are. It's too bad. I'm sorry to say this, but they are investing. So the people who are investing in these politicians, you'd think would vet them. I mean, at least if you're going to be if you're going to try and control politics in a way in a dark corner, you'd at least want to vet the guy to make sure that he'd get elected.
You know, Sandy, he had this Cheshire Cat smile on his face when he won, and he's been And I guess he pulled this off, and he's always smiling. He's starting to wipe that smile off his face. I see him starting to get away now when the news media is hounding him and dogging him.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted. He wanted people to see him and get to know who he was. And now he's trying to hide, right?
Exactly. But part of him probably, people who want attention, we know this from our children. You know, children like positive attention, but if they don't get that, they'll go for the negative attention too, and
right.
You know, they'll cry and scream, and so now you have to pay attention
right.
to them, and so you know he's definitely getting a lot of attention. So if what he's chasing was attention, pure and simple, he got his wish.
Yeah, but he didn't really know the outcome of that or the depths of it. And that it would be nonstop.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, right? Yeah.
Just might get it.
Yeah.
So I'm watching him, and early on when he won, he'd stand there, and every time they talk to him, he's right there smiling, and he pulled it off. He did it. We did it. I'm a congressperson. And now when they're dogging him, he's bam.
Yeah,
he's a track star.
I know. When I was receiving my Medal of Honor, I remember, oh, wait a minute. That's right. I didn't get a Medal of Honor.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe people learn. Others should learn from what he's done. He'll never have a moment's peace. And at some point in time, well, he's 2 years. That's the maximum of what he's going to get if he can survive the 2 years, right?
Yes.
In the Congress.
And actually, his 2 years is going to feel more like a sentence.
Yeah.
His sentence is going to be 2 years in the public spotlight if he gets what he wants.
You know, because early on he was arrogant about it. Well, everybody lies. It's what he said.
Yeah, like I told you, that was his defense was, and to some extent, people buy that because people think that politicians generally are talking up their sleeve, which is an interesting expression. I don't know why that means lying, but talking into their hat. That's another one. You know, he's talking into his hat. So he was doing that.
So I haven't been around long enough to know what those things mean. A little bit before my time, Cindy.
Hmm. Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising here.
Yeah. Okay.
we've got to go to a break. It's Friday. This Friday is with Sandy Williams, my co-host. And, we'll be back. 844-967-2789. Yes.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show, The Paul Revere Show, because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You know, I grew up hearing that women are bad with money. But like many of you, I spent years paying bills, managing checking accounts, and taking care of my family. So, turns out, women are pretty good with money after all. And now, I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. It's never too late to start, and there's a great website to help you. Check out WeSaySaveIt.org and jumpstart your retirement savings on your budget and your timeline. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Snow likely today, otherwise overcast skies. Highs around 32. Southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 14. Overcast skies tomorrow. Snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 21. 3 to 5 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 14 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, one thing we haven't done, a lot of things we haven't done.
That could be a long list, Earl, and some of the things on that list we aren't ever going to do.
well, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about Ron DeSantis. We haven't really talked about Ron DeSantis.
You know, it's interesting. DeSantis and Santos, I mean, we shift from name to name, but it could be confusing.
But Ron DeSantis.
DeSantis.
Well,
see how I confused you. It wasn't hard.
Ron DeSantis. Your thoughts about Ron DeSantis?
Well, you know, he's a smart guy. I mean, you can look at his pedigree and see that, and I'm confident that he is. I've not liked his policies. I've thought that I thought he was shrewd, in using shrewd in both the terms of meaning smart and also kind of despicable. His running against wokeism, painting woke as essentially like the way Trump painted nostalgia, make America great again. Just imagine what you want America to be and go back in your bag of nostalgia, and that's what I'll make it. DeSantis shrewdly said, you know, develop woke as the enemy, never defining what woke meant. In fact, I read something yesterday. Maybe this is the time to haul it up. But he got one of his aides finally did define woke, and I got to...
You know, I've received emails, Sandy.
Here's what
about wokeism.
Yeah,
go ahead.
DeSantis's lawyers were forced by the court to define woke. The lead lawyer described it as the belief there are systemic injustices in American society and that there is a need to address them. Wow.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound like a despicable, my God. So what he defined was essentially people in America who are trying to make America a better place, and those people are woke, and that was basically what DeSantis was running against. So What I find troublesome is that DeSantis uses his intelligence to bend things as he has and has developed a very successful thrust, political thrust, against this woke movement. I have a problem with political correctness and how far we've run amok. But on the other hand, I believe woke is just a code name for what the right would call un-American liberals. And so that's troublesome. What is really curious to me is watching the people line up to run against DeSantis for president, and almost all of them are running at him from the right. So as much as I think DeSantis is way out on the right and troublesome in so many ways, he wants to get the legislature of Florida and probably Congress right in the classroom legislating what can be taught. And so that's exceedingly troublesome to me. But now we have Republicans running against him who are saying he's not conservative enough.
But Sandy, you're a wordsmith. And so when they create, can you just fictitiously change the definition of words?
Yeah. I mean, that's what...
Who
gets to do it? Madison Avenue. Madison Avenue's done this forever. I mean, word bites in advertisements are designed to find out what is the psychic appeal and what is the psychic effect of various words and how are they understood, regardless of what they actually started out meaning. What do they mean to somebody when they hear them? And that's what woke is all about. I mean, it's been able to be converted from, first of all, woke isn't, I'm not sure it's a word, but, but the word woke has been converted into a word, number one, and number two, it's now designed to convey to the people who are upset about things a particular meaning. People don't understand it. A judge had to ask lawyers, what are you talking about?
So Sandy, so Republicans and the people who support that have their own language, because those of us who aren't Republicans and we hear the term woke, it's kind of like we're awake. You're awake. You're cognizant of what's going on around
you.
Oh,
sure. Yeah, but words are it's like poetry. What does the word elicit in your mind, and does it give rise to feelings and a sense of something? And for the conservatives, they've converted woke into something that means something. It resonates. Like, that's what we call that. You know, the word resonates. It has an impact.
But it means the people who are woke are negative.
Yes. It's a created word that is intended to convey something, and it effectively conveys it. It certainly did in Florida, clearly, because DeSantis's primary campaign issue was wokeism, and he won by a landslide in Florida.
So listen, when we get back, I want to spend a few more minutes, Sandy, on DeSantis. Got a lot to talk about. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Memphis will release police body cam video today of the alleged police beating of driver Tyree Nichols during a traffic stop. He died 3 days later. Shelby County District Attorney Steve Milroy tells CBS.
There's room for protest if people feel the need to protest, but we're hoping that protest, and we're confident, I think, that protest will be peaceful.
National Archives wants all former presidents and vice presidents to check their personal files for anything marked classified. Senate Intelligence Committee's Marco Marco Rubio wants to know what's in materials already found.
If in fact those documents were very sensitive, materials were sensitive, and they pose a counterintelligence or national security threat to the United States, then the intelligence agencies are tasked with the job of coming up with ways to mitigate that.
In Ukraine,
Pamyat millionov zhertv Holocaust.
President Volodymyr Zelensky, who is Jewish, marking International Holocaust Remembrance Day, urging the world to unite against indifference and hatred. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier. Here's what you need to know. Republicans in the U.S. Senate want spending cuts before they'll raise the debt ceiling. Senator Ron Johnson says they'll look at everything this year, including Social Security and Medicare. Johnson proposed these earned benefits be changed to discretionary spending rather than mandatory. Democrats calling out the GOP for trying to back out of their commitment to seniors and working Americans who've earned the benefits by paying into the system all of their working lives. A little positive news for Wisconsin's farmers. WPR reporting that after years of leading the nation and the number of farm bankruptcies, new federal data shows Wisconsin had 10 Chapter 12 bankruptcy cases filed before the end of September last year, down 72% from the same time in 2021 when there were 36 new cases. One possible reason for the decline, farmers got more money from the federal government for pandemic-related programs, but those programs are now ending. I'm Jane Matnier for Civic Media News.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you. Or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844. Yeah, 967-2789. You can text us at that same number. That's Sandy Williams in here grooving to Connor's techno music.
Yeah.
Is that what that's called, man?
No, this is actually African music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. It just has some synths in there.
It's not juju, though.
I don't know what, you know.
Juju, I think, is Nigerian rock. I went in through a juju phase myself.
Yeah, right? I haven't listened to that. Nigerian rock is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I must be... You guys... you're out there, man.
Yeah, I can start playing some more stuff if you want.
King Sunny Ade.
I haven't heard of him.
Oh, yeah, look him up. King Sunny Ade, juju. Okay.
Play some Lawrence Welk while you're at it. 844-967-2789, Texas, this and Sandy. I remember I was in St. Joseph's Hospital. and they were going through whether or not they were going to be shut down or not. They had whole wings of this hospital that had nothing and nobody in them. And I remember I was the only patient on an entire wing.
Yeah, I was telling you, I had the same circumstance there.
And so they kept me there. I never will forget, for 2 or 3 days. And they were running all these tests, right?
Yeah.
Just every test, you know.
Did you fall in love with them, like Stockholm Syndrome kind of thing?
So I never will forget. I'm like, why am I still here? And finally, it was a big Packer game against the Vikings on a Monday night. And I said to them, hey, I want to go see the Packers and the Vikings. And they wound up releasing me.
Hmm. You were a profit center, were you?
Hey, I had great insurance.
Yeah.
And so, Sandy, the reason I ask that is Columbia St. Mary's, a prominent hospital, that apparently is the nurses said they're overworked, doctors are disgusted, patients unattended. Columbia St. Mary's, very prominent hospital on the lake, right?
I mean,
I've always known Columbia St. Mary's to be, not recently, but to be a prominent hospital in, when you looked at all the hospitals in the city of Milwaukee, it was right there. What happened?
Well, you know, the hospital business has become very, very competitive, first of all. You know, they've got the very big hospital systems, three of them in Milwaukee. Ascension, which owns Columbia St. Mary's,
right,
is the smaller of the three. And then there's Frederick,
right,
in terms of the size in Wisconsin, at least. The Frederick system and the Aurora St. Advocate,
right,
Aurora system, now St. Luke's. And those two are by far the biggest in the region. And have, I think, sucked up a great deal of the business.
So before you go any further,
but
is Ascension or Aurora, are those all local hospitals?
No. Actually, okay. I mean, Aurora was local until a couple of years ago, and it had a merger with the Advocate system, which was an Illinois system of the same scale as the Aurora system in Wisconsin, maybe even bigger. And then after that, there has been a subsequent merger with an operation out of St. Louis. I think it's St. Louis.
So they're the biggest.
Yeah, and so that one is the biggest system by far. Frederick is a system that is local to Wisconsin and is more regional, southeast Wisconsin, and is basically centered around the Medical College of Wisconsin. And then there is Ascension, and Ascension is a national system.
Okay.
But it has only a limited number of hospitals in Wisconsin.
So the fact that
all of these hospitals were local. You know, Columbia,
right,
was a freestanding hospital until it merged with St. Mary's. St. Mary's was a part of a hospital system that was run by an order of nuns in the Catholic Church, and then that became the Ascension system.
So does this mean that Columbia St. Mary's is in trouble to the degree that there could be a possibility that it doesn't survive?
Well, I don't want to be the gravedigger.
Right.
You're going to have him. That's another story.
Yeah.
I suspect there is a definite threat of that. My suspicion is that were that to occur, another hospital system would step in. My suspicion is that Frederick might find it very attractive to have an East campus for their hospital, an East Side campus. And that might work better. That hospital might work better than the St. Mary's Hospital has. But there is a real problem in the labor situation of hospitals. Nurses are overworked. Nurses and doctors are much less satisfied with their jobs based on the difference.
Assembly line kind of thing?
Well, yeah. For doctors in particular, doctors have all become employees of hospitals instead of freestanding clinics in which they are view themselves as serving their patients. Now they are basically employees of the hospital. It changes outlook, and it changes the sense of edification they get from their work. Nurses are so seriously overworked. Since the pandemic and the flood of demand for hospital services, nurses have come to be asked to and to get used to long hours, lots of overtime. You know, you might look at them and say, well, they're adequately compensated, but it doesn't seem to be adequate to compensate them for the burnout that they're experiencing.
Stress. Right, right.
The stress. And so it's going to take a while for the nurse market, the nursing market, to catch up with demand and to get enough nurses. But one of the problems that doctors have talked about at St. Mary's is the inadequate staffing, the operating rooms that couldn't be staffed, so they couldn't do operations. And so doctors got frustrated and said, there was an article about that a couple of weeks ago.
Right. You know, Sandy, you always make me think. And so when you talk about this models, this model of the way hospitals are now, not working. Is it safe to say that?
Well, it's working. It's definitely working differently, and it's not working if you stand back and look at the U.S. medical system on it as an entirety. Because, in fact, I was just talking to my doctor yesterday. Doctors are less satisfied based on what they're being called upon to do. They're experiencing less edification. Patients are experiencing assembly line doctoring, and the way they are getting their services modified, they aren't seeing the cost differential. The ones that are insured, but the cost is skyrocketing because the system doesn't include adequate cost controls, and Medicare and Medicaid, the public systems, have been essentially disarmed of their capacity to negotiate aggressively against the medical costs because of K Street and lobbying, which has caused, which has taken out of their arsenal the capacity to negotiate aggressively for lower costs. So we have an escalating cost system in the United States that is providing less satisfaction to the caregivers and is mystifying the people receiving care.
But Sandy, every one of these facilities look like the Taj Mahal. I remember back in the old days. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, the hospitals weren't looking.
No, you don't remember back in the old days.
The marble floors and all of that didn't exist. You walk into these hospitals and all the new wings and everything is up to date and they're building nonstop.
Well, you know, Columbia Hospital with the old Columbia Hospital was quite a magnificent thing when it was built.
Right.
And it was, you know, it did have marble floors, and it was built to look different. It was built to look much more like a college dormitory, I suppose. And the new hospitals are grander seeming, the entryways, et cetera.
So the reason I'm asking that, Sandy, is...
Well, hospital systems, the ones that are successful today, are kind of awash in money, actually. They're making quite a bit of money. They're not for profit, most of them, but they are allowed to keep surpluses they earn and to reinvest those surpluses in the medical business they're in. And those surpluses have been devoted to new hospitals. We had a caller who talked once about the Summit Hospital out in the Oconomowoc area that was built, and there was not much demand for it, and it's not very filled up.
Right.
And there has been overcapacity built in places. There are structural problems within the system, but there's no question that overall the hospital system is stressed.
So, Sandy, at a time when you're looking at St. Mary's, the first thing that comes to my mind is we're all aging, the baby boomers. If they're under stress and those kind of things right now, it's only going to get worse because there's a whole group of people who are aging and going to need those services. You know, you always talk about we failed to plan. Are they planning for that? It's inevitable.
Well, I think the medical industry, you know,
Those, these are tough questions, but you know, I mean, your
But I think the medical industry and the care industry generally has definitely got the baby boomers on the bulletin board as cost centers. The numbers of units for elderly housing is going up at a dramatic rate. Not fast enough, probably. It's lagging what will be required.
Hospitals.
Well, hospitals again are competitive institutions, so you can look at Fredert and the Aurora system, and I'm confident that they're very busy.
Right.
And the fact that St. Mary's on the Lake is experiencing problems might be unique to
just it.
Yeah, the business model that has been formulated at that particular facility, and how and why it might be not experiencing the same level of demand as these other places.
You know, Sandy. People and nurses and doctors, you know, people always looked at them with admiration. Those are definitely areas when you talk about law enforcement and fire. You know, the doctors and the nurses, well respected, well compensated.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you never thought the stress part of it.
Well, you know, there's something that's happened to the doctor business as far as indigenous Americans are concerned. And by indigenous, I don't mean Native Americans. I mean people born in America, because the population within the ranks of doctors of people who are born in America as a percentage is going down annually.
No question.
I mean, all you have to do is receive medical care, and you understand that the subcontinent of Asia supplies a significant percentage of the doctors. And by the subcontinent of Asia, I don't mean people who are second-generation Americans,
right,
whose parents are from India or Pakistan.
Right.
No, I mean people who have gone to school for their early schooling in Pakistan or Asia and have ultimately matriculated into the medical business in the United States.
You know, Sandy, like you say, all you have to do is spend a couple minutes in the hospital. I don't care where it is, and what you just said isn't that.
I mean, those people are splendid doctors, and all the doctoring I think that's going on is constantly improving. We are unfortunately very siloed in the U.S. medical system, so our specialists tend to be hyper-specialized, and that's a question in my mind as to whether that optimizes the wellness of Americans. I think it probably doesn't, because I don't think we have people focusing their attention on wellness, and we have people only focused on curing the diseases that result from a lack of wellness. But, you know, the significant percentage of providers are not born in America, and so the question is, why don't American-born people want to put in all the work and effort that is necessary to become a specialist doctor?
844-967-2789. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Snow likely today, otherwise overcast skies. Highs around 32. Southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 14. Overcast skies tomorrow. Snow likely. Daytime highs approaching 21. 3 to 5 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 14 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
So Connor has found out that Sandy likes the bass. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, Friday's with my good friend and co-host Sandy Williams. Let's go to my really good friend and former neighbor, Mary from Wauwatosa. Hey, Mary, how you doing? It's so good to hear from you.
Good morning, Earl and Sandy, and thanks so much for raising this topic, highlighting it. So there's hope on the horizon for this medical crisis. It's called lifestyle medicine, which means people learn about practices of good diet, exercise, adequate sleep, lowering stress in their lives, you know, to prevent and reverse chronic illness and becoming less dependent on pharmaceutical pills. And there's a growing force of practitioners, those being integrative practitioners like doctors, NPs, PAs, who are offering this remedy, including wellness, you know, focus and functional medicine. So if people were to Google evolution of medicine for more information, I think they might feel there's a good direction to go in. I have been on it for a long time, and, you know, at my age, you know, 77 years old, you know, I'm quite well. So really happy to have found it.
That's an understatement.
And you're a youngster.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, there is this movement, I know, but the problem is that the general medical system is not a part of that movement. That's a movement that's like the salmon swimming upstream, and I hope it gets all the way up and spawns, and to finish the metaphor. But it is a very important movement, I think. General wellness and lifestyle is fundamentally much more important to America's problem with medical health care costs than anything else, because America's health and the expensive medical problems we have, like, for instance, endemic diabetes, is a huge cost to the American public.
You know, Sandy, and so Mary grows her own food, right? And she has for a long time. You know, Mary, and there are a lot of people who are doing that exact thing, and it really does make a difference, right?
Oh yeah, and when I go into my doctor's office, he asks me, number one, how is your sleep? Most important thing, you know, if we don't get a good night's sleep, the next day isn't looking too good. But so anyway, thank you for addressing this and evolution of medicine.
Hey Mary, you and I should talk, because we need to bring somebody on the air to talk about that. Okay?
Well, you know, Mary, just one second. Mary, we're age contemporaries. And I remember as a kid, before, you know, grocery stores with all the packaged food and everything is something that's kind of come on the world during our lifetime. And after World War II, our parents were buying produce off of produce wagons that were driving around Milwaukee and giving us fresh produce. We were getting fresh eggs from the egg farms, and we were getting milk from the milkman. And all of this was the way we lived. So we were living without processed food until the early 50s and mid 50s, until TV dinners took a hold of the.
But people didn't live longer, did they?
Well, I think we lived. I think those people lived healthier. I think the rate. For instance, there were environmental problems that people were ignoring. We didn't understand that some of the stuff that was being put into the rivers and the right. harbors were bad for us, and the coal dust was prevalent from the. But I think cancer rates during the 50s, 60s, and 70s were rising. You know, and lots of health factors. Diabetes has been on a rapidly rising rate, and so I think that there's a clear correlation between loss of healthy lifestyle and eating and health problems. I think Mary's right.
Yeah. Well, I know Mary is right because Mary may not remember this, but I was having trouble with my memory, and from time to time, as I still do, but nowhere near as much. And Mary and I were in a store.
Aldi's.
Yep, Aldi's.
And
I was telling Mary, I was saying, I'm having trouble on the air remembering. And Mary said, well, get you some coconut oil.
Coconut oil. Mm-hmm.
And put it in your coffee.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ever since she said that, I drink one cup of coffee a day.
And when you remember it, you can put the coconut oil in.
Yeah, it's called bulletproof coffee. And in terms of cost, one of the things that is going to be helpful is that if you picture a group of patients with the same malady, like say diabetes or heart disease, you know, instead of 10 individual sessions with a 10-minute, appointment with a doctor, the doctor comes in to a group of patients with the same illness and, has a little talk with them, educational, at the beginning, and then it's opened up to chat, and the people talk and share amongst themselves. This is this sort of thing, which is, the evolution of medicine is offering, and so it's going to impact on the cost.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much, as always.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I really appreciate it. So, she's a very healthy person.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever Mary says something, I listen. Because, number one, she's very, very healthy, very, very concerned about her health, and probably takes zero meds. I'm pretty sure she takes zero meds. And I know just that thing about the coconut oil in the coffee. Excuse me, I'll swear by that, So, these remedies.
I'm Sandy Williams. I just, just to remind you. Okay.
So, and she's not doing the Granny Clampett kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
For those who don't know, the Beverly Hillbillies and I, a newt, a sprig of this, and it's not like that.
Yeah.
Well, how did we get on this subject?
I don't know. Sometimes.
But we're getting ready to get into some other things, Sandy, I promise you, and listening audience. Wanted to do something a little different
for with the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. Well, they did. Man, it was one of my favorite shows. I can still watch it today. Anyway, 844-967-2780. Sandy, I must be getting old. When the Beverly Hillbillies and Granny Clampett,
mm-hmm.
I can bring that up on the air. Something's happening to me, right?
Well, I don't, to be honest with you, that was a phase of my life in which I wasn't watching TV because I never watched the Beverly Hillbillies.
You never watched the Beverly Hillbillies?
No.
No, you were too busy in college and...
Yeah, it must have been a phase. Harvard, it was a phase of life, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. I can't believe Sandy has never watched the Beverly Hillbillies. Okay. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Man!
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at Discover.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.